Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. During the first hour today, I'll be bringing on my good friend Simon Parks. He's a famous ET contactee. He'll be talking about all kinds of interesting things, so please stay tuned for that. And during the second hour, I'll be having a wonderful gentleman named Brian Tigman. He's in touch with the Lemurians of Telos and Master Donna, the High Priest of Telos. And we'll be talking about our upcoming trip in September to Mount Shasta. Brian will be joining me there, and the cost is just $200 for the entire trip. For the week, it includes free dry camping right next to several entrances to Telos and the Hollow Earth. And during my last trip there in July, several of us actually saw Sasquatch materialize and then dematerialize right in front of us next to our campsite. The Sasquatch also built this beautiful peace mandala made up of pink rock crystal quartz. And they tell me that the crystal quartz actually came from the city of Telos. And we also did a meditation in front of one of the entrances to Telos. And what was interesting, we had about 8 to 10 people there. We all saw the Telosians. They came up, but we all had a different message after that experience, depending upon our spiritual level. But it's an amazing trip, and if you can come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, and especially my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric and Eric here at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to tell you also that there are some exciting events planned for this fall. On Saturday, September 29th, I'm having a Cosmic Awareness Affair in Olympia, Washington. It's at the same location where my Galactic Wisdom Conference is held, at 9101 Stillicum Road Southeast in Olympia, just off of exit 111 on Interstate 5 Freeway. I'll be giving a free presentation on my new book, Messages from the Masters, there. And there will be other psychics and other wonderful spiritual people. The event is free, and I hope you can come. If you're interested in being a vendor, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. A vendor table for the event's only $50. Then on Saturday, November 10th, I'm sponsoring a very special healing event by Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project from in Olympia at the same location. She'll be flying in from Tokyo, Japan, to give a very special presentation on her work on the Hado vibrational machines and also messages from water from Dr. Emoto. She will be giving Hado vibrational healing sessions as well. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The event is also free, and I hope you can come. And finally, I will also be having a very special galactic, huge psychic fair and spiritual event at Olympia on Saturday, January 19th. At the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington. Vendor tables for the event are just $50 for the day. And if you're interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call 509-750-9793. Proceeds from the event will be given to a nonprofit children's charity, the Emoto Peace Project, and it'll be helping children around the world learn love and gratitude. And with that, I'd like to invite my good friend Simon Parks on the show. Simon, how are you today?
Hello, Ted. I'm very, very pleased to be back with you. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. We were talking a little bit about the weather there. Have you had a hot summer there, Simon?
It's been incredibly hot, Ted. I think the last time we had anything like this was probably 1976, 76, 77. That's how rare it's been. It's been incredibly hot.
I remember, as I look out from our from our tall building here, skyscraper here in Bellevue, Simon, looking over the Seattle area, there's just a fog. You can't see the mountains at all, and there's just kind of a haze outside. I remember when I used to live in India before, many years ago, and I'll never forget the day in I was in Calcutta or Kolkata, and I looked across the street, and I couldn't see 50 yards ahead of me because of the air pollution. Now, it's not that bad here, but we are getting a tremendous amount of smoke, Simon, from forest fires, both in our Cascade Mountains here and from Northern California and Oregon, too. I've gotten several questions from people here who have... It's the craziest thing, Simon. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but they've actually had videos of U.S. Air Force planes using particle beam weapons shooting down into the forests around Northern California. Other pictures are of just these weapons. These particle beams coming down from the sky. You can't see the planes. And they're starting forest fires. And in some of the neighborhoods, for example, around Redding, California, the pictures are really strange because it's not a normal fire. The houses themselves will be completely burned up. There's cars there, and the bumpers are melted. But yet, people's gardens and the trees and the grass are completely untouched. So I don't know. I have a lot of questions for you today, Simon, and I'm so happy you could come on today. But from your sources, do you have any information or could perhaps comment on these fires?
Yes, certainly, Ted. First thing to say is that your president is not involved in this. That's the first thing I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
President is not authorizing this. This is some rogue element, and that's all I know.
Okay.
In terms of the weapons, it started under President Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
The particle beam weapon, energy beam weapons, the principle of it had been already worked out by the late 1970s.
Hmm.
But from the mid-70s onwards, they've been working on it. So by the time of the early 80s, they actually had the ability to deliver such a weapon.
Wow.
So what you've seen now is portable weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my mother was working for the intelligence services, and I think it would be probably about 77, something around 1977, 78.
Mm-hmm.
One of the documents she was working on was an energy weapon, and they had them on tanks because they needed the size of the tank to produce the energy to fire this weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were working out whether it were possible to miniaturize it.
Mm.
So what we've got now in 2018 is weapons that can be carried on a helicopter.
Mm.
It's not just airplanes. Helicopters can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have any information as to who's behind it or why, but I can confirm that the technology is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And generally in your country,
mm-hmm.
these are warnings to the state legislature. So in other words, if a state has got a congressman or a city governor who is very active in one way or another,
mm-hmm.
one of the ways they warn against this person is by attacking their constituents. Sending a threat. So I hope to get more information on it. What I can confirm is that there are energy weapons, and I can't be sure whether it's from an airplane or helicopter, but they certainly have got that capability. So that's what I can add to your debate.
Okay, well, thank you for confirming, because I've looked at the YouTube videos and I've seen the photographs, and I've told my friends about it here in the Seattle area, and they look at me like I'm nuts. I'm out of this world. And I said, yes, I'm not from this planet, but it's just truly amazing that this would go on. You know, I'm a psychic, of course, Simon, and I've talked to President George Washington about this, too, and he said that they had a revolution, of course, on the tax, on a tea tax back in the 1770s, 1760s, and it led to a revolution, of course, the founding of the United States of America. And this is so beyond the pale in terms of what, if this is in fact true, my goodness, we've got to do something about it. But I don't know. Do you think we're getting help from benevolent extraterrestrial help on this, Simon, to help stop this madness?
I don't think we're necessarily getting help on that one particular topic. I think I would ask your audience to see what's happening as part of a larger picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and it's only a stone's throw away from you, with the situation with the pilot and his small light aircraft who crashed it into the ground.
Right, that was my next question, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I see them working together here. The official media, it's a whole host of stories, you know, but the main one seems to be that, you know, he was going to kill himself and that was what happened.
Right.
The reality that I'm getting, the information that I'm getting, is a bit different from that.
Uh-huh.
Now, your government is on the East Coast.
Yes.
And not anywhere near the West Coast. However, on the flight path and associated with the route of this airplane was a paedophile rehabilitation center. When your paedophiles go to the penitentiary or to prison, when they're released, they go to a halfway house.
True.
Where they are rehabilitated back into society. They're not just let straight out generally.
Right.
There's this program they go through. There is no coincidence that this airplane was on the flight path for this.
Mm-hmm.
The information I've received is that this was a threat to President Trump from the very group that he is after. Basically saying, we have the capability to fly aircraft into buildings. So if you go back to 9/11, you can see that they're just carrying on the same sort of threat. So basically, my understanding is that that situation with that poor pilot,
right?
Because I don't think he was aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is it's a threat against President Trump to say, ease off, stop coming after us, because we can put airplanes into buildings. Now, add on to that, information I have is that there are 12 of the sealed indictments that are more important than any others, and those 12 are on the verge of being opened. And therefore, I know that, others know it, and I think that's why that aircraft crashed when it did, because there's a certain group of people now who are absolutely terrified. Once these indictments are opened,
mm-hmm.
then they will be arrested and it will become quite public knowledge. So it's to be seen in part of that. I also see the energy weapons for the forest fires as to be part of this threat. And very quickly, I didn't forget, I want to go back to the point you made,
mm-hmm.
that when you strike an area with an energy weapon,
mm-hmm.
the immediate area, depending on the material. So if it's a combustible material, a natural material like wood,
right.
That will hit and burn if it's struck by the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But just a few inches, literally, or half a foot away from the strike,
mm-hmm.
it could be left absolutely normal. And then another foot away, it can catch again. I ask your listeners to think back to the many images of the motor cars at the bottom of the Twin Towers. We saw hundreds and hundreds of burnt out cars. But I ask your listeners to, if they can't remember, to go on YouTube and look at all the many pictures. You will see motor cars that are completely gutted on the inside, and yet their windows are not smashed, or their plastic bumpers are undamaged, or the averse, that the front of the car is completely burnt away, but the interior, which is a plastic or a leather upholstery, is undamaged. That is because it wasn't just a straightforward situation with the Twin Towers. There was a number of energies being used. And that explains why in one patch you have total devastation, but just a few inches or feet away, it's untouched.
Oh my goodness, you just cleared something up that I'd wondered about for many years, because I'd seen those pictures. And I wondered the same thing. I have people I know down around Redding, California. It's something called the Carr Fire, the C-A-R-R fire. And in that area, they've sent me pictures of housing developments where it's the strangest thing, Simon. You have a car, and the car is completely demolished, even with the bumper melted. But barely 3 or 4 feet away, you've got grass, you've got trees, even people's gardens, which are untouched. The house itself is a bunch of rubble. But you ask yourself, how would a normal fire, so-called normal fire, would burn everything up? And depending upon the intensity of the fire, I wouldn't see how bumpers could be melted, aluminum or steel. But it's the craziest thing, and people are asking, down in California, they're asking all kinds of questions about that. Now, the thing that happened, too, in the fires around Santa Barbara, which is further close to Los Angeles, and also the ones in Santa Rosa, California, north of San Francisco, is that after the fires there happened earlier this year and the end of last year, the local governments there were very interesting because, Simon, they prohibited people from rebuilding in that same area. A lot of people had home insurance, they had fire insurance, so they had the money to rebuild easily their homes. But the local governments were prohibiting people from building, saying that that was now a fire hazard, and they wanted them to buy a condo or get an apartment in San Francisco or Los Angeles. And they said that this was part of Agenda 21. Now, we're going into a whole new area here, but I'm trying to understand what's going on, and I want to thank you so much for sharing that.
In some cases, these prefabricated houses were already built. These are houses that America, Britain, and other developed countries have to airlift out to disaster areas. And they're like steel or aluminium blocks, and they just like a building block set. You just lay one cubicle on top of another, and they are meant to be temporary houses. Well, my understanding is that they're wanting to move people from the rural areas into the city areas, and as a matter to move it quickly, they have these temporary housing. Although Agenda 21 is over and a new agenda has come forward, it's still the same principle that if you are in a rural area, you are more likely to be independent. You can possibly source your own water and food. You are off the radar of the system, and they can't control you as easily. And if we live in a society that wants to control you, then it is better from their perspective to bring everyone into one small area so they can watch everyone easily. So it's not so much they want to poison people, it's they want to control people. They want to have everyone in one place so they can look at that group and keep an eye on them. But it's odd, because you could go to one state where the legislature was fairly pro the citizens, and they won't have anything to do with that. Right. You just go down the road to the next state, and they're all into it. So it's a lottery in the sense of where you live. So I have heard that. I have seen the photographs. I've seen exactly what you're describing. And it is because weapons are being used, tested, practiced with, that general public have no understanding of.
My goodness. Well, for those of you in California listening today on my show, I'd appreciate your comments on what Simon had to say, if you like, and also pictures, too, of the burn areas. If you like, please email them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I want to thank you so much for your comments on the hijacking here, because the local media here in Seattle painted this hijacker as somebody who went crazy. He was gainfully employed as a mechanic, 29 years old, at the Seattle airport, had a good job, and suddenly he goes crazy and he hijacks his plane, flies around, and they shoot him down. So the facts didn't really make sense, and there's been very little information since that time except to paint this gentleman as a crazy guy who suddenly went nuts.
Sorry, Ted. I want to just say that this gentleman, the pilot, may be totally innocent. In 2012, I was driving in my car on what you guys would call a freeway, And I had with me a young woman who was working with the Rothschilds, and she was controlled by a very dark, magical, satanic elite organization, and I was what we call deprogramming her. I was taking her away from their control, and she didn't live in this country. She'd been to visit me, and it was the third, it was the first visit, and I'd been working with her to break her free, and we were hit on the freeway by a car hitting us from the side. It completely wrote my car off. The car that hit me only had one wheel left. We weren't hurt, but why I'm bringing the subject up is that the vehicle that crashed into me, it was a company car, and the logo on the car was an eye, one eye, and underneath that were written the words of the company logo, which was I, and then the letter C, so I C U.
Oh my goodness.
And I Googled ICU to find it's a security company, American, of course, who specialize, and they make a big point that they specialize in recruiting ex-FBI and ex-CIA agents for their private security firm. So what happened, and I met the guy who crashed into me, I had no clue of what had happened. So if you work for one of these very high-end organizations, they potentially can put a switch into your mind, and then they can take control of your mind and then switch it back off again, so you have no clue what you've done. Now, I know, because I spoke to the guy that crashed his car into me at 60 miles an hour, and he had no idea of what had happened.
Oh my goodness.
I'm saying of the pilot that we need to hold judgment. We need to say, because if it's the same instance, then that man is totally innocent.
Isn't that amazing? Thank you so much for sharing that. The facts don't add up. The facts just don't add up. Of a guy who's gainfully employed, has a good job as a mechanic, excellent pay at the Seattle airport, and suddenly he goes crazy, goes out to another plane and starts flying it around. It doesn't make sense, personally. It causes me to raise questions. Well, thank you so much, Simon, for sharing that. I guess you could say the same thing about Sirhan Sirhan, too, who doesn't remember anything about allegedly shooting Senator Robert F. Kennedy back in 1968. He's still in prison for that, but many people say that he's actually innocent and he was mind controlled.
Well, let's go back even further. Okay. The days of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, there was a guy called Rudolf Hess.
Okay.
And Rudolf Hess was the number two in Nazi Germany. He was the deputy Führer. He was Adolf Hitler's number two. And for no apparent reason, he jumped in an aeroplane, flew from Germany.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Flew to Britain, jumped out of his aeroplane on a parachute, landed in Scotland, which is the north of England, and was captured. Now, what's interesting is that he was put in prison in Russia. He died in prison in Russia.
Yeah.
And the point, I think, was that had he been released, he would have been able to name names and people would have seen that he had no clue and he was technically innocent. Although he caused whatever, he actually had no conscious knowledge of it. So often when somebody could name names or could win the media over, these people are not released into the public. So I'm not surprised that guy is still in prison, because he would just turn around, and if he did a lie detector test, he'd probably pass it.
We are getting some interference now. Oh, we heard a buzz on the line. Buzz is gone. Thank you, Eric. Such a good producer. Anyway, the buzz is gone now. Wow, that's amazing. We have lots of questions. I hope we can get it all in. I may hold you over a few minutes over the top of the hour. I know it's late there, Simon. But this is another question about from Jay. I don't know where Jay is. He asks, quote, do beings such as mantas, reptilians, and grays use any form of written language?
Yes.
Okay.
But they don't rely on it in the same way we do, mm-hmm. because the physical mode of communication is outdated for them. Mm-hmm. But they still can produce written, the best way to describe a mantis, mm-hmm. Written format, people I think will be very familiar with Egyptian hieroglyphics,
right.
But perhaps people are less familiar with what I would call Sanskrit.
Oh, okay.
So if people want to go and Google Sanskrit, you'll find it's an Indo-Asian, it's like squiggles, and that sounds disrespectful, but I don't mean it to be disrespectful. It's made up of little squiggles. Now, when the mantis communicate, it is in squiggles, but remember that most of the communication is telepathic, and so what they will do is use color as well as imagery, because we have a saying on this planet, don't we, that a picture paints a thousand words.
That's
so
true.
If I'm going to say to you, Ted, why don't you join me and we'll go down to Central Park, mm-hmm. That took me a couple of seconds to say it. But if I was just to send you a mental picture of Central Park and you and me together, mm-hmm. it's done.
Yeah.
And so they use that. And they'll also use color to break up images. So we use full stops or commas to show that we are breaking our sentences up. They use a bar of color, which is telepathically sent. So their reliance on the physical is minimal, but they do have written language. The craft at Roswell, which was not a mantis craft, it was a gray alien craft, that had symbols and letters and numbers stamped on it, although it took them a long time to decode it. So there is always a written language, but when you have telepathy, your written language plays second fiddle.
Interesting. Well, my goodness. Thanks, Jay, so much for sending us that question. That was an interesting answer and one that I'd actually thought about before. But thank you so much, Jay, for sending that. You had some, there were some other things. This is follow-ups to your website about Turkey. The situation in Turkey is going from bad to worse, stock market down quite a bit. I'd love some elucidation on that, Simon, if you like.
President Trump is a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have traditionally been stronger to the church, mm-hmm. the Christian church in the U.S. than the Democrats. And in Turkey, the Turkish authorities have been holding a pastor, I think, for about 2 years. And Trump had a private and confidential phone call with the prime minister or the president of Turkey,
mm-hmm.
Telling him to release this guy who is innocent, and that the pastor was a man of God. And he shouldn't be holding him. The president or prime minister refused, and so President Trump launched an economic war on Turkey.
Hmm.
And as a result of that, Turkey lost something like 17% of its stock market, went down in one day. Inflation shot to 15%,
mm-hmm.
And investors are very spooked. So President Trump wants Turkey to release the pastor, which has been held. So far, Turkey is refusing, and so Turkey's in an economic crisis at the moment. So that's what that's all about.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining that. Thank you so much. This is another email from a question, a very astute, profound question, I think. Let me summarize it. It's quite long. I'll just have to summarize it given the time on the air. This involves the Florida shooting January, where there was this horrible high school shooting where this lone gunman comes in. I think a 15-year-old student comes in and shoots up a bunch of people. And the name of the school was named after a lady who campaigned in the Everglades in Florida against draining the swamp. And the man who's asking, Mike, is asking this question. He said, was that a message to President Trump to not drain the swamp? I would love your comments on that. That's kind of an old case, but that was from January this year.
Yes, the school was named after a woman who'd campaigned to drain the swamp.
Okay.
Because of malaria, and other things with that, and also to take back some of the land. And these people couldn't resist the metaphor, because President Trump had been talking about draining the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
So they launched an attack there. What's interesting is that a number of the students actually reported gunfire from more than one location.
Mm.
And since then, we've had students in other of these terrible atrocities talking about people dressed, I'm using the word very carefully, dressed as cops firing. Mm. And I do believe that some of these bad guys are dressed as cops in order to gain entrance. You'd have to ask yourself, how are they obtaining legitimate uniforms? But anyway, let's go back to the first point. The bad guys have consistently, over the last 2 years, sent coded messages to President Trump to back off them. They've given up the they've given up the fight in terms of trying to change Trump. They've given up trying to threaten him. They haven't given up trying to kill him, but they've given up the belief that they can stop him. So what they're trying to do now is to try to alter his course. So they'll say, look, he's got 20 things on the go. Let's take three or four of them off him. And one of the things they want off him is his insistence on finding pedophiles. Trump is absolutely determined to get pedophiles. He doesn't like them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people have been blackmailed, have been caught in compromising positions, mm-hmm. and they don't want their name coming out in the press. Even places like Fox and CNN will have to carry this information once it comes out in the press. Mm. So they undertook a number of instances that were solely designed to send a message to the president.
Right.
And that's what that was all about. So the answer is yes.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow. I don't know. A lot of times you see things posted on the internet, Simon, and you don't know about their credibility. So I haven't talked about this before, but there has been, can't remember the name, there has been attributed to a U.S. Supreme Court justice and some other high officials saying that pedophilia should be legalized. And have you seen the same thing? I don't know. I want to be respectful of the Supreme Court, of course, but have you seen those kinds of posts before? And is that a way to try to legitimize a horrendous activity?
Yes. Have to remember. You have to seem to remember that it was the CIA head office who said that they saw Hillary Clinton as the Antichrist. And there's no doubt in my mind that had Hillary Clinton won the election, she would have brought in legislation that would have legalized pedophilia. I ask your audience to go online and check. They're trying to do it in France. They're trying to change the law in France to make it legal. There are some very, very nasty images now being shown of an older person and a little child, mm-hmm. and the word love. Mm. So this is part of a satanic group. Now, thank God for the Bible Belt. I mean that deliberately. Thank God for that part of America that is very strong and has a very sure. strong Christian point of view, because sure. they will fight that. There is no way that anybody could try and make that as a policy in the United States of America.
Right.
But nevertheless, these people are trying to do that, and it's an absolutely evil thing.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. And yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I know we spoke about this during our last broadcast a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to ask you about it again. I keep hearing things about preliminary arrests taking place here in the United States. We don't hear much about it on the media. Again, there's not really much on the media about anything. But what do you know what's been happening recently on that?
Right. And the reason that you're not hearing it is not actually because the major news are refusing to carry it. It's that they're being asked not to carry it because, I should say that the highest in the land, the good guys, are not yet ready to press charges. They're not yet ready to run a court case.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that people have had their passports taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
or they've been told they can't go out of state. Mm-hmm. So there aren't arrests in the true sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
House arrests or state arrests, that's actually what's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Of the thousands of names in the can,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe for one minute that the United States of America has the ability to prosecute thousands of people,
right.
I think they're going to choose those that are the ringleaders. And I did speak earlier that there are, to my knowledge, 12 sealed indictments, which are, if they're not being opened now, they very soon will be.
Mm-hmm.
So not preliminary arrests, but preliminary warnings to people that are being watched and they can't move or they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
The big deal is the Clinton Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and we'll wait to see what happens there.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. All right. I always get this question from several listeners about what do you see happening in the short term, medium term for the rest of the year for not only the United States, but elsewhere in the world as well.
More attempts to murder your president is absolutely,
okay.
without doubt. That's
mm-hmm.
going to be more attempts. I see two more attempts before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Which I see not coming off.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more attempts to kill this president than any other president of the United States.
Wow.
And that's a fact, and there's some of those are documented, even if they try and show it off as just a deranged person doing this, that, and the other.
Right.
In the short term, it's going to be quite dynamic. If it goes ahead and there are some arrests, they will be incredibly high names. These will be very high names.
Mm-hmm.
The question, I was just chatting to a good friend today, and we were talking, and I said, I don't think the public will have a problem in accepting individual people are involved in paedophilia. And I think it'll upset them, but it won't shock them.
Mm-hmm.
What will shock them is the network and the coordination.
Hmm.
Don't worry, Ted, I'm not going to name any names. But,
yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is that there is a vision amongst people on this planet that paedophiles sneak kids into a little old rowboat and then they row across the lake at midnight with a lantern and a little flashlight, and you mm. know, they go and stay in some log cabin and then they move them across.
Mm-hmm.
The shock for people will be to find there are household names.
Mm.
I don't mean individuals, I mean organizations, household names,
mm-hmm.
who are willingly involved in that. That'll be the shock. Not that X, Y, or Z was a paedophile,
mm-hmm.
but the control, the organization, and the network across the planet.
Mm.
That is what will absolutely astound people.
Mm. Well, I think everyone has a moral compass that tells them the difference between right and wrong. And I know that all of my listeners around the world cannot condone this kind of activity. So, I'm looking forward to the truth coming out eventually. I'm looking forward. I know many people are, and regardless of what station they are in life, whether they're high political office or a very successful business person, if they've engaged in that, then they should be sanctioned, prison, jail, whatever. But maybe get some psychological help as well, because I can't see anyone condoning that kind of activity. So
I do understand your standpoint. What I think, and we're just talking as if, you know, this is going to all come to fruition,
mm-hmm.
but if it does, what I would hope that any legal proceedings would make the distinction between people who were drugged,
right.
mind controlled or hypnotized to
right.
do something, and to make the distinction between that person and someone who did it willingly.
Sure.
Because my information is there's a lot of people who did it against the will, or they didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at what happened in South Africa with Nelson Mandela, they had what they called truth and reconciliation courts.
That's right, they did.
What the court did was to say, if you can stand here and apologize and go through, as you said, Ted, a training program. Remember, in Adolf Hitler's time, they had a denazification program, for heaven's sake. They actually denazified people
right.
through through special training sessions.
Right.
Now, there may be quite a proportion of people that actually fall into that category. So all I'm hoping is that when this comes to the head, they will decide between those who really are guilty and those who got caught up in it.
Sure, sure. I've always thought that the South African model of the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions were really good because they didn't necessarily punish people. All they wanted to do is have people come forward in South Africa and tell the truth what they did during apartheid. And then they kind of let God choose the punishment for them, and they didn't necessarily end up in prison. That's the kind of model I think would be very healing here for the United States.
Yeah, there's a slight difference, of course, because what Nelson Mandela wanted to do was to heal Africa.
I see.
Which had been divided down the middle between white and black.
Sure.
That's not quite the same in America, but if what I'm predicting comes 100% to the fruition, your country will be split down the middle, and it will need that healing. If what I'm predicting comes to the fore, and if certain absolutely household names, both individuals and organizations, not only are indicted but are tried and found guilty, the United States of America will say it doesn't know itself. It will say it doesn't recognize who it is. It doesn't understand how this could have occurred. How could it have happened?
Right.
People will need that healing. So right. I think there's a place for a more conciliatory court, but where somebody is totally evil, has no compassion, yes, absolutely, they need to face the full court of justice.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. I've got a question in on your post on July 27th. This is for Buzz Aldrin. And you write, just seen an interview where Buzz Aldrin at a space convention was asked by an 8-year-old girl. The little girl says, quote, "Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?" Buzz replies, "We didn't go there." Would love your comment on that.
Yes, I put that up because it broached a subject that had gone off the boil. When I saw it, I wasn't convinced it was necessarily 100% genuine.
Mm-hmm.
It could well have been altered and hacked by somebody.
Sure.
But I put it up because I've got some association with astronauts. I've met a few of them, and in fact I've got a signed photograph of one of the astronauts taken on the moon, and I've had Skype conversations privately with astronauts. And not so privately, some of them are on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and you'll see that I've had a conversation with them. And so for me it was a very pertinent point, because there's so much misunderstanding and so much smoke around that moonshot that I thought that would be very good to bring that out into debate. Now, the reason that I think that's out there was to try and get astronauts who are perhaps getting near the end of their life to come out and be more truthful, to try and give a bit more of a hint to the public as to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that out there because I wanted that debate. I found that it was actually sent to me. I didn't bother to check whether it was real or not, because I was not putting it on my website saying, this is real. What
right.
I put it on the website was, this is what's been said. This is worth a debate.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've heard that before. It's been a rumor going around for years that... Well, if they didn't go to the moon, let's carry this one step further. What did they do? Did they go to a Hollywood studio and make some films and then say, if we didn't go to the moon, then where did we go, or did we go at all?
When you talk to people in the know, they will say, no, they didn't go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ask these people in the know, well, did they ever go to the moon? And the answer is yes. The next question is, when did they go to the moon? The reply is, I can't tell you that. And there's a very, very interesting reason for that. I'll answer the questions, Ted, that you've put to me.
Okay.
The technology in 1969 was not capable of, in my opinion, of putting somebody on the moon. Mm-hmm. Any of you guys who've been to any of these space museums, when you look at what they call the lander craft, mm-hmm. and it's just like kitchen, what do you call it, aluminum foil. It's just, it's like a tin can. It's yeah. no way that could do anything.
Right.
So even school boys and girls can look at it and say, no, that's just not possible. But back in 1969, we didn't have the internet. We weren't as technically advanced, and most people just accepted what they were told. So they were given a very, very clever image. And I've talked a bit about Jodrell Bank and how the NSA took over the only serviceable radio telescope, mm-hmm. apart from one you had in your country, to see what happened.
Sure.
The answer is that this, in my opinion, the spacecraft just orbited the Earth. It orbited the Earth, then it returned for a splashdown. Have those astronauts been to the moon? Yes, they have, but not on the Apollo program.
What?
Not on the Apollo program, because the Apollo spacecraft, right. first of all, did not have the capability of reducing radiation once through the Van Allen belt. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the thin skin of the spacecraft would be punctured by the smallest meteorite traveling through space. Mm-hmm. So the technology of the craft that we were shown was not capable. But those astronauts have been to the moon, but in a different sort of vehicle.
Interesting. Now, I have a book. I purchased it way back in 1976. You probably heard of it, called UFO Contact from the Pleiades, by a gentleman named Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens. Mr. Stevens has since passed away. But in that book, they say the same thing. And one of the reasons why they faked a landing is because when they eventually went up there to the moon, we were not alone. There was all kinds of other spacecraft surrounding our vehicles when they were landing. And they didn't want that information to get to the public here on planet Earth. I'd love your comment on that, Simon.
If the best way is for the audience to listen to official communications from astronauts on the moon, mm-hmm. to the Earth, and there was one particular space flight where they were told, if you see an alien or an alien spacecraft, you refer to it as Santa Claus. And there's one famous section where the astronaut says the Santa Claus is early or something like that. Mm-hmm. The other factor to remember is that the National Security Agency, on all genuine moonshots, mm-hmm. put a 10-second delay. So what the audience on Earth are hearing is 10 seconds, and you in your radio studio, you know, and Eric will know all about that.
Oh yeah.
So if an astronaut inadvertently shouted out, "Oh my goodness me, there's a flying saucer,"
right?
They
right.
were able to get rid of that.
Right.
And that was that was the National Security Agency. That was their job to do that. Now, the only reason they were doing that was because this alien bases on the moon and on Mars, by the way, are very genuine and very real. Mm-hmm. I think that the human have known that since the 1950s. So I think they were dead sure from the 1950s onwards
sure.
that the moon was occupied, yes.
From what I've been told by my galactic friends some years ago, they said that the dark side of the moon, and this is fascinating, I've never forgotten this, Simon, I wanted to share it with you, the dark side of the moon is like a little Switzerland, where you have all these different bases from different civilizations, and even if they're belligerent with one another, and they've been fighting in the past or present, they respect each other, and they don't get into an active war there. And so when we sent up our craft up to the moon, we were going into it was flying into Chicago or maybe New York City or Los Angeles, and that there's tons of structures there, all kinds of entities there, not necessarily human, but they're all there, and they didn't want the public to know that the place was inhabited, which I think is a shame. I think most people on this planet, especially any people who watch Star Trek and are very open to extraterrestrial contact, and I just wish they'd tell us the truth. That's all.
The Bible's not quite accurate. We learn about the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And we learn that, which is absolutely true, I believe in the Garden of Eden. I have no problem with that at all.
Right.
But we learn about Adam being expelled from the Garden of Eden because of the sins of Eve.
Right.
What isn't accurate, there's lots not accurate, but what's not accurate is that it was both Adam and Eve that led the humans out of the Garden of Eden. The Bible says there was one man and one woman. Now, my knowledge is that's not accurate. There were many, many people, but Adam and Eve were chosen to lead the humans out of Eden. That is why there is one base on Mars and one base on the moon, and they are called Adam and Eve. Because the exodus from Earth, which is at the moment is a controlled exodus, it's the elite, scientists, military, very wealthy people, etc., etc. And as in, not the Bible, but as in the history many thousands of years ago, a man and a woman formed two separate breakout groups, for want of a better word, to attempt to find a habitable plane, a lush plane that could support life. So these two bases have taken the name Adam and Eve. Now, one of those bases was a very, very old base and was reactivated. And you're right about the Swiss cheese. We call it the far side of the moon. And remember, the moon is the only object in space that doesn't spin like every other object. In other words, all other objects in space turn to show over a period of time all of the aspect of that planet or that sphere, but the moon circles but doesn't change. So it's obvious that somebody wanted to hide something, because that's the side that's never shown to us. Now, go back 100 years, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, it worked. Because humankind did not have the technology to get behind the moon.
Right.
As soon as we had the technology, either through satellites or through spacecraft, the whole game changed. Because now we were able to go into their world, their territory. Now, they were allowed to do that. They could have been shot down, but they weren't.
Right.
So they were allowed to get there. But the environment was made so hostile for them that they came straight back to the White House and said, phew, we don't want to be doing that again. Now, they did do it again, but in future, it was months and months and months of diplomacy to agree that moonshot, next moonshot, whatever it would be, could go ahead and something could go and visit them. So the first time they just did it cold calling. After that, they did it through diplomatic channels.
Interesting. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Simon, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today and to give you this time to wrap up your, as always, wonderful interview today.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm always delighted that you invite me to the show. It's great to predominantly talk to Americans, but I know, of course, this goes throughout the world. People listen to it.
Thank you,
and
Simon.
I've said that, it's a pleasure, that America is a very important country. There are some very good people in America, and for every bad person there are 10 good people. And I just ask your listeners to just believe that actually we will come good. It will work out, but unfortunately it's going to be a bit dirty on the journey, but it will come good.
Sure, and I'm the eternal optimist myself. I've been shown the other side, and my book, Messages from the Masters, you know, I've spoken to Professor Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Nostradamus on our future, and they all say it's beautiful and bright. Now, it's not, we do have challenges, which we'll be facing, but I know that we have a much better and happier future ahead of us, and you're helping to make this world a better place. Simon, so anyway, my friend, thank you so much for coming on today, and you're always amazing to talk to, and I always learn so much whenever you come on. So,
okay, well, thank you, and thank you to Eric as well.
All right, Simon. Hope you have a wonderful and happy weekend, and thank you again so much for coming on.
Thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye. Good night. That was Simon Parks coming to us live from England. And with that, I'd like to have my wonderful producer, Eric, play Star Trek. And then we'll wrap up this hour. And then next hour, I'll be talking about Mount Shasta with a wonderful spiritual fellow who's been in touch with the masters of the Hollow Earth. Please stay tuned, friends.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.